Good morning. It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship on this beautiful spring-like day. And I want to welcome all that are here and a special welcome to anyone who is visiting. If it is your first time here, we invite you to fill out a welcome card that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you. We invite you to put the card in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You will note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week. Church Council is scheduled to meet this afternoon, and we will be doing that. In addition, we've called a brief property trustees meeting immediately after the service today, too, to act on one proposal that we've received. Also, you'll note that Mission Board is meeting next Sunday. There is an insert in your bulletin for Mother's Day blankets for the Church World Service Blanket Program. If you would like to give a $5 gift, that would be a blanket for in honor or in memory of a loved one, you're invited to do that. That's filled there. Also, last month we were receiving the America for Christ offering, and we have not quite met our goal. The goal was $800. And to date, we've received $729, so we're a little short of our goal. If anyone would like to make a gift, you may use one of the envelopes in the pews and just mark it America for Christ, and we will make sure it goes there. Also, there is a sign-up sheet in Judson Chapel for greeters and coffee hour hosts, and as far as I know, as of a few minutes ago, April 29th, which is next Sunday, was still open. And there are several Sundays in May as well open. So if you can do it next Sunday, please sign up. If you can't but would like to in May, just flip the page over and you may sign up then. So I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 106 for our responsive call to worship. These are familiar words, a favorite psalm of Psalm 23. I do want to caution you, though, that it is from the New International Version, so the words might be a little different from what you may have learned. So just please, let's read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside quiet waters. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. We are here to worship this day and to celebrate our Good Shepherd with us. Our opening hymn is Praise Him, Praise Him, number 117 in the blue hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Come, Good Shepherd, be our guardian and our guide. Strengthen us in this hour to respond to your presence in our lives. We ask this in your name, and now pray as you taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Opportunity to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer. And one is we want to continue to remember Dorothy Berry, and Dorothy's still in the choir today, but still, I think she told me this morning that her therapists have said, we're done with you, we've done all that we can for you, but she does continue to recuperate from a stroke she suffered. And so we want to keep Dorothy in prayer today, and Lana as well as caregiver at home, so we want to keep both of them in prayer. We want to keep Irene Hoffman in prayer. Irene's not in the choir today. She was getting ready to come this morning and fell at home, landed on her back, and says she's okay, but just didn't feel it wise to drive this far from Tewksbury. So we want to keep Irene in prayer today. We want to welcome back Mark and Dottie Foxen from Florida. You've been away a few months, but it's good to have you back in New England, and good to have you here. Today is Earth Day, and so we do want to, remember and thank God for God's creation and help us to be wise stewards of all that has been bestowed to us. Also, received a request for prayer from the McCurry family for Stephanie McCurry Proskow's grandfather-in-law, passed away this morning. His name is Joseph Samadaju. And so asking for prayers for the Proskow and Samadaju families in Michigan as they are mourning the death of their loved one. Also, we obviously want to keep our former President George H.W. Bush in prayer and his family, as Mrs. Bush, who passed away this week, one of our first ladies, was buried yesterday. We want to keep that family in prayer. Keep our elected leaders in prayer today as well. And also, as we have been praying for our Judson Association churches this year, today, finally, we got caught up because I missed a few weeks. So finally, we got caught up. So this will be the last Sunday for a while, I hope, that we'll be praying for two different churches. And today, the churches are Shiloh Baptist Church in Medford and the Washington Street Baptist Church in Lynn. So I want to lift up those two congregations as well in our prayers today. Do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns you'd like to share with the church family as we go to prayer? I'll be back. Barbara. Prayer for traveling, and it's been vacation week for a lot of people in school, so there may be some folks traveling today, especially getting back for school vacations. Debbie? Okay. So friends of Debbie's that are ill, and we want to lift them up in prayer today. Okay. Naomi. So we want to pray for Naomi's mom, Genevieve, who has an interview at Mass General on Tuesday, you said, and hopefully that she'll be able to get that job. That is, applying for jobs and looking for work. Dottie, did I see your hand? Okay. So Dottie's sister, who's 91, is transitioning into assisted living and is struggling with that a little bit. So I want to pray for her. Mark. Wow. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. So Mark's friend of 85 years passed away recently, and we want to lift up that family in prayer today. In the back. I haven't turned around yet. Whose hand? I didn't see. Jeffrey.
Prayer and
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we want to keep Amelia Lanton in prayer that she was hospitalized this week but has been released with difficulty of breathing and is obviously getting medical care, continuing medical care, but is able to be home now. So we want to keep Amelia Lanton in prayer as well. Peggy. Peggy's great-grandson. He's talking now. Oh, he's not talking. Peggy's great-grandson, Mason, who was born prematurely 2 years ago, will have his birthday this week. His birthday's this week. He's not talking yet, which is a concern as well. So we want to keep Mason in prayer today as a celebration, but also a concern as far as delayed talking, delayed speech. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up someone or something that's been mentioned here or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Thank you, O God, for hearing our private petitions. And we pray now that you would also hear our corporate prayers. O God, you are compassionate and loving. You are our creator and our shepherd. In your gentle care, we have all that we need. When we are weary, you bring restfulness to our bodies. When we are thirsty, you nourish us with abundance. When our spirits are weak and troubled, your spirit refreshes our hearts. You guide us on our journey, great and wondrous God, so that we will walk with strength and purpose. If we walk through the deepest valleys of trouble, disease or sorrow, we are not afraid, for you are right there beside us. Even in the presence of hatred and violence, your peace-filled love can take away the hatred and can foster community. O God, you are simply amazing. And you have called congregations into being, O God. And today we pray for the ministries of the Shiloh Baptist Church in Medford and the Washington Street Baptist Church in Lynn. Again, differing communities, and yet congregations that have been called together to minister in your name, to be in their community, to be a presence. We pray that each of those congregations may be following your will for their church, and that their mission may be fruitful in all that they do. Your strength, O God, and your awesome presence, your love and your grace always comforts us. Surely your goodness and your peace will be with us all the days of our lives, and we will live in your eternal home forever and ever. For all this, and for so very much more, we say thank you. In the name of Jesus, we ask all of this. Amen. We've prayed together and sung together this morning. We've read scripture together. We have an opportunity now to continue in our worship as we present our tithes and gifts. as the ushers receive the morning offering. Together. Good and gentle shepherd, we present these tithes and gifts and ask that you would bless them and bless us, because we know that you know our hearts, you know our needs, and you know the hearts and needs of others. We pray that you would send us to those people that need to hear about your love and your gentle care. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated. And Sugandha Jeevankumar is going to be reading the scripture today.
Today's scripture is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. And I'm reading from the Good News Translation. I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. When the hired man, who is not a shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. So the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired man runs away because he is only a hired man and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, in the same way I know my sheep, and they know me. And I am willing to die for them. There are other sheep which belong to me that are not in this sheep pen. I must bring them too. They will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I am willing to give up my life in order that I may receive it back again. No one takes my life away from me. I give it up of my own free will. I have the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it back. This is what my Father has commanded me to do.
Thank you, Sugandha. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words of Jesus of being the good shepherd, we pray that we may welcome Jesus into our hearts and into our lives as our shepherd, as one who will guide us and lead us and protect us. Lord, at times we find that difficult because we value our independence so much. But Lord, as we come this day, we seek strength from our time together. We pray that we may have a new word that will help us in our daily living. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I am the good shepherd, Jesus tells us in today's scripture. And if we are followers of Christ, then we are part of his flock. I've often heard that sheep are among the simplest of livestock. That is to say that they are quite vulnerable without a shepherd. They are vulnerable to their enemies, such as wolves or thieves that Jesus mentioned in the previous part of this chapter in John. And also they are vulnerable to themselves as they tend to wander from the flock. George Friedrich Handel quoted Isaiah 53, verse 6, when he composed one of the choruses in the oratorio entitled Messiah. These words, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." Now, I do not profess to be an expert on sheep. In fact, I have very limited knowledge of sheep. But it seems that any sheep that ventures from the watchful eye of the shepherd is bound for trouble. As dependent as they are on the protective shepherd, I seriously doubt that sheep realize their dependence on that shepherd. They probably scarcely notice the shepherd's presence until they feel the tug of the staff when they are pulled from danger. They don't know it's dangerous, but the shepherd is there to protect them and to pull them away. At the other end of the spectrum, we've talked about the simplicity of sheep. At the other end of the spectrum, human beings are creation's most complex thinkers. We have the capacity to understand and to process amazing quantities of facts and information. We can make complicated decisions. We're not very much like sheep in that regard. Yet Jesus uses the parable of the lost sheep and the metaphor of the Good Shepherd to teach his followers about the relationship offered and sought by God with God's creation. Jesus recognized an important tendency of humanity. Perhaps we are more like sheep than we realize. The image and the metaphor of the shepherd is a familiar one throughout Scripture. It's utilized so often probably because it would have been easily understood by the original recipients of the stories and the teachings. Perhaps the best known use of the metaphor is what we read responsively in our call to worship today, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is one of the best known verses in Scripture, in the Old Testament especially. The image of God as our shepherd through the valley of the shadow of death is an image of comfort that indeed consoles and reassures many throughout life and into death. In this morning's scripture passage from John chapter 10, Jesus uses this metaphor as he attempts to teach his followers and the religious leaders known as the Pharisees about his role in their lives as well as his future with them. In the verses preceding today's passage, Jesus refers to himself as the gate that separates the sheep from danger. It's one of those I am sayings that John uses throughout his book. I am the gate. But in the verses that were read today, in verses 11 through 18, Jesus continues this concept and this metaphor and personalizes it by calling himself the Good Shepherd. So not only is he the gate, but he is also the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd is different from a hired worker because he is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. A person who is hired to watch the sheep is not invested in them like the shepherd and will likely desert them when danger approaches. Jesus suggests that as the Good Shepherd, he will not abandon the flock and will indeed be willing to lay down his life for the flock. So here Jesus is also alluding to the reality of his eventual sacrifice. In verse 16 of today's scripture, Jesus acknowledges that there are more sheep that are not inside the sheep pen. These sheep also need him as shepherd and will be brought in to join the rest of the flock, and all will have the same shepherd, Jesus says. And finally, in the text, Jesus alludes to his own choice in laying down his life. Not only is it his choice to lay down his life, but it is his choice to take it up again. Through our post-resurrection Christian lenses, we live this side of Easter Day. We can clearly see this allusion to Jesus' crucifixion and ultimate resurrection. Jesus indeed could have chosen to forego his death, but chose instead to face death and return from the dead. As we can imagine, the religious leaders standing there that day did not respond well to Jesus' depiction of himself as the Good Shepherd who has come to both lie down and take up his life for his sheep. Although some of those were challenged toward belief, others thought Jesus was crazy, and some even thought he was being blasphemous. There may have been another facet of this metaphor that would have been difficult for Jesus' listeners that day. We are accustomed to the concept of the Lord as shepherd and us as sheep. Jesus' original listeners would have been less accustomed to this idea and would have had firsthand knowledge of the sheep and shepherd relationship. For Jesus to describe himself as the shepherd of sheep-like people was probably difficult for the people to hear. They probably mistook his teaching as egotism. Who does he think he is? That he is over us. He needs to protect us. But we have the advantage of knowing the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. We can see the gentle wisdom in Jesus' teachings. We know that he did just what he said and chose to lay down and to take up his life for us. As the prophet Isaiah wrote, and as Handel quoted, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." When we stop and think about it and put ourselves into the scripture passage, there's something a little disheartening about being described as sheep. It's difficult to admit our likeness to animals that so depend on a shepherd for survival. We are much more accustomed to being shepherds in control rather than sheep, so in need of leadership. Yet when it comes to our relationship with God, Jesus understands our human tendencies better perhaps than we understand ourselves. When it comes to our faith, we are very much like sheep in need of a shepherd. Like sheep, we have a tendency to follow. Like sheep, we often confuse true leadership with the kind offered by hired hands, that is, shepherds who are not in it for the right reason, or you could say they're in it for the wrong reason. Like sheep, we are endangered by those who prey on our vulnerabilities, like those spiritual wolves that Jesus alluded to. And like sheep, we are perhaps most vulnerable to ourselves, and our tendency to wander away from the care of the shepherd and the safety of the flock. We certainly do need a good shepherd, like Jesus, who is willing to care and sacrifice for us, accepting that we are indeed like sheep is the hardest part for many people. It is our human nature to want to be in control of our lives. Yet to be a follower of Jesus, we must accept our spiritual likeness to sheep and our need for a good shepherd. As we continue to ponder and to celebrate the great news of the empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus, may we be ever aware that to fully experience Christ, we must allow Christ to be the shepherd of our lives. Let's join together in prayer, and I'm going to be using words of two different composers this morning for our prayer together. Lord God, all we like sheep have gone astray, each of us turning our own separate way. We have all sinned and fallen short of your glory. But your glory is what we desire to see, and in your presence is where we long to be. O Lord, show us your mercy and grace. Take us to your holy place. Forgive our sins and heal our land. We long to live in your presence once again. Taking our sickness and taking our pain, Jesus the sacrifice, the Lamb has been slain. He was despised, rejected by men. He took our sin. Draw us near to you, Father, through Jesus your Son. Let us worship before you, cleansed by your blood. Dear Shepherd, we hear and will follow your call. We know the sweet sound of your voice. Restore and defend us, for you are our all, and in you we will ever rejoice. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us, number 578. Jesus Christ as our good shepherd, guarding and guiding us. May love come alive in us by the Spirit that God has given. Amen.